This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast feature review of the film Widows. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. We are back with another one of these reviews. We're a little late on this one, though, have to admit.
Yeah, this came out a while back, but maybe y'all caught up with it by now. Maybe it's dropping in. Maybe you always wonder.
Yeah, it's also a film which didn't get a lot of play. It was thought it might be a big Academy Award contender.
That's what I heard, and I'm a little surprised to hear that.
To hear. Well, all right, we'll get into that. But, of course, by now, the Academy Awards have actually taken place, and you know who has won. We, however, do not, because we're recording a little ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't mention anything to do with that. Widows, then, straight into it, is a Steve McQueen film. It's written by Gillian Flynn and Steve McQueen. Gillian Flynn, of course, the author who wrote the screenplay for Gone Girl.
Oh, really?
Sharp
oh, yes,
Objects,
yes, yes.
All that kind of stuff. It stars Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, Elizabeth Debicki, Cynthia Erivo, Colin Farrell, Brian Tyrese Henry, Daniel Kaluuya, and Jackie Weaver. So, as well as Robert Duvall and Liam Neeson. So, a huge all-star cast, I think it's fair to say. The music's from Hans Zimmer. It is 130 minutes long. The budget was $42 million, and it only took back $76 million at the worldwide box office.
Oh.
So it is effectively a failure.
Tanked, eh?
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, it would have lost a little bit of money if we go by the formula of twice the budget to include all marketing costs.
That's a shame, kind of. Mm. Okay. Well, the movie, it's about... Okay, so there's this crew of four bad guys who take down scores, and they're led by Liam Neeson's cock. So,
Or just Liam Neeson.
John Barenthal is one of these guys, but he hits his wife, so fuck him. They go do this robbery job, but it gets botched, and then 5-0 catches up with them, and then there's a shootout, and then they all die and shit. Okay? This movie follows their wives, who are now all widowed and left with hella bad financial problems, plus the gangsters, who their husbands stole from, are now chasing down the wives to get their money back, which is quite the predicament. So now they have no other choice but to band together and try and pull off a robbery themselves to pay back the gangsters and also get themselves out of financial strife. So before he died, Liam Neeson left a notebook with all the details of a big score that they could go pull off. So that's what they try and do. And throughout the story, the women seem to find new resourcefulness and they navigate twists and turns, but they complain a lot less than you might expect.
Oh.
Paul, what's what?
Oh, it's a deep burn.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, wait.
I worked on the intro for a good 5-6 minutes. All right.
For the record. The comments of Wayne Arizu
do not to reflect. See Paul's face and see what he does.
The Countdown
and any freaks
movie
out
and
some.
TV reviews podcast.
But it's okay because everyone understands the shit is coming. It's all for effect.
You're an idiot. Look, I think you've done some particular disservice. I think the film is a lot deeper than just the heist, which is going on here. I think it says a lot more. It says a lot about class relations, race relations. I think it's a deeper film than you've given it credit for in the synopsis.
Sure. There's elements there. Absolutely. What did you think of this movie?
I dug the shit out of Widows.
Yeah?
I liked it a lot.
Really?
Yeah. My expectations weren't high. It was on the radar. I wanted to catch it late last year when it was released and do it for the show. We couldn't quite get around to it with scheduling and the like.
Yeah.
So as soon as the opportunity came up to see it, I sort of eyed it off for the outdoor screenings that maybe I'd get there, but again, didn't fall on the right
days. I had heard very good things about it.
Some reviews were very positive. A lot were middling. A lot of reviews were middling. I didn't read too many reviews that were suggesting it was bad. So my expectations were pretty high, and I'd say they were almost met.
Really?
Almost met.
Mine's middling to high. Because
okay.
What I think is that I knew nothing about this movie. I'm doing this cold walk into movies nowadays. If I can possibly not see a trailer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to happen with big ones like Ultron or whatever. Like, you know, Avengers.
Ultron.
Avengers.
Endgame, yeah,
Endgame,
sure.
Endgame, yes. But so I knew nothing about it. I didn't even know Liam Neeson was in it until it started.
Okay.
I was like, oh, shit, what's up? So I would say this is a better than average film, for sure. All right.
I'm glad you agree with that, at least.
The best thing about it is the directing and the performances, because this movie has some odd directing choices in it, man. Like, it's perfectly framed and a lot of close-ups and stuff, but then there's a weird scene where, like, Colin Farrell gets into a...
Oh, don't. Don't tell me this is weird. This is brilliant.
No. It's when I say weird, I mean unusual and good.
Yes. Okay, good.
He's at some rally or something. Then the camera, one shot, follows him as he's having a conversation, sits in the car. The car drives off. The camera is on the car bonnet. Still the same shot. Whole massive, like two or three pages of script. And then he comes out and that's the end of the scene. That, I mean, it hung there a little bit, so that's very unusual because it's not like the rest of the movie.
Why? Why did that scene happen, Wayne? Did you pick up what it was conveying?
Because you were supposed to listen.
Nope.
No?
More than that.
Oh, wait. Because it went from that shitty part of the neighborhood to the really nice part of the neighborhood.
3 minutes.
Yes.
And then that's what it's conveying.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yep. Of course. Actually, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
As I'm saying, this film is deeper than you think.
I'm a bit more impressed now. Uh-huh. Wow, okay, all right,
jeez. And I'm sure I missed other elements that were like that, but that was the one that really stuck out for me, and I'm like, wow, that was so
impressive. Well, I think I was so fascinated by the fact that they're doing it that I'm sitting going, when's it going to end? When's it going to end? And I didn't pay attention to what it's
I watched it
me.
With my partner, and I said to her, watch the background. Because as soon as...
That's actually quite a big...
It got to a more expensive area, and I said, start to end of the shot. And she's like, oh, yeah.
No, that's an excellent move, and I think... That would have been hard to actually block and like,
oh, yeah.
You have to find a location that's
and
like
how
that.
And how did that, obviously the camera got onto something on the mount, on the front of the car. It couldn't have just
bolted on. Yeah, it had
bolted
to be attached,
on.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's clever. There's a lot of directorial flourishes that are like that. There's not a 15-minute one-shot or anything crazy awesome. But that's because the performances don't require it.
No, that's true. But I think some of the shots where... I think there was a shot where that Debicki girl, like the blonde girl, she was talking in the camera and I remember... He held this 50-50 shot really long, but it helped because I was more invested in her.
Because you're getting
and
more of the performance.
Yes, but I knew that, like, I don't know, I was aware that I was liking it more. Very good. He's a very good, like, a really good director.
I think the cast are uniformly good. I would say the only one who's a little weak might be Robert Duvall, who's just a bit over the top.
Crotchety old man.
Yeah, he's really going hard with the crotchety old man thing, and I was a little bit on the nose. But apart from him, I thought they all played it. The women were all fantastic. Like Michelle Rodriguez, I'm the first to criticize her as being really one note in all the action films. She's always the snarling bad girl who's just got that fuck you face on all the time.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not Jordana Brewster. Huh?
Yeah, in this film. She showed a whole other side. I thought she had depth and I thought she was great.
Agreed. The role was better.
But yeah, that's right. It's a better role. But Viola Davis is knocking it out of the park. Good as always.
She's crazy good.
And probably crazy underrated, to be honest.
Do you know what? Because first of all, I always forget her name and call her How to Get Away with Murder. But,
but can't understand why she's underrated.
No, but she's so intense, man. And she's like, I don't know. I don't want to fuck with her at all. Just boom. And that's impressive. And she's well-dressed and nice like this. I don't know. It's a good character.
I think the other thing which you often praise, which I'm now going to get my fingers into, is the editing.
Yay!
Which I thought was very good, especially the opening 8-9 minutes of the film, which very effectively...
Dude, that first... Awesome!
Minimal amount of footage for a 2-hour, 10-minute film. This film could have been... 45 minutes, the first act, give or take, following these relationships and building up to the deaths of all the guys. But it is within the first 7, maybe 8 minutes
Agreed.
Of the film, which is why I'm not counting it as a spoiler. If you don't know, a film called Widows is about the people whose husbands have died, then you've missed the boat entirely. So I thought that was fantastic. Just the snap and forth between the credits.
The intercuts,
And Liam Neeson and Viola Davis's relationship. And as you said, John Barenthal being the piece of shit that he is.
Yeah, and then all the other guys. Well, the other guys I've completely forgotten.
Yeah, Michelle, I can't remember who the actors were, but you'd recognize Michelle Rodriguez's husband at least.
Yes.
So I thought, great.
I actually wrote a note like that where I was like, this opening is really good because I'm getting everything I need and it's not boring and it's just, and boom, the movie starts proper. You've got the intel you need. Very impressive. So, editing, you're right. Red editing and directing, very cool.
The other performance I thought was excellent was Daniel Kaluuya as the menacing kind of gangster.
I didn't think I could dislike him so much.
Wow, this is the bloke who's in Get Out, who is such a great, easy to get along
with.
He's
the guy you like. Yeah, he's the guy you want to be
a very easy to identify with, easygoing dude.
Because he looks sadistic. The shit he does is like, he's enjoying that way too much. Yep. Like, he's obviously fucked up.
Totally, totally bought his character. Really enjoyed that part. And I enjoyed, like I said, the other layer of, we've got this whole election thing going on. We've got one of the campaigners is hooked up in the... Well, they're both hooked up in the bad world, so to speak.
Yeah.
In different ways.
There's kind of no good people here except the innocents. Do you know what I mean?
Well, even...
Although even they choose to do a job. So, you know what I mean? There's no one really...
It's shades of grey.
Which is... fine, and they do a good job of showing, look, these women are all really in trouble.
Well, especially Viola Davis. I didn't think the rest of them were in as big a trouble financially. It was Viola Davis who was being chased for the money.
You're right. She's the one who was like threat of murder. Yeah. Yes. But and also, that's a weird thing. At the beginning of the movie, you think, like, you know, Colin Farrell's the bad guy, and then, you know, the struggling politician, the black contingent, they're the good guy. Then you find out they're not either.
Yeah, well, they're both corrupt.
Everyone's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's on that. That's quite refreshing. It's quite good. And I think that this movie takes a while to get to, like halfway through, and I'm not quite sure why this happened and that sort of thing happened. And
so that's your big problem with the pacing.
The pacing, but I will tell you this, and no spoilers here, but there's a development a little bit later in the movie which absolutely brings it back to life. Because I thought, like, there's a lot of footage of the women, you know, doing their stuff and preparing for things, and it got a little boring to me. I'm like, something needs to happen now, and fortunately something does, sort of. But that's what keeps it going. So
yeah, I was never bored in this film. The pacing was fine for me. It is a longer film.
Good. Cause
but yeah. I'm okay with that.
Well, I want to bring something up in the spoilers that I'm going to ask you about.
We will talk about that in, I think I know exactly what you're referring to. Yeah, anything else about this film you want to say as a general rule before we do go into spoilers then?
Just one more, like, about the directing, right? There's a lot of crane shot car arriving things happening, but it's done differently.
Yep.
But more than that, there's a break-in scene where someone's casing a house. They're just walking in to look around. And that is just this kind of camera following and whipping in the bedrooms.
Yes,
I know, like you would if you were clearing a house, and it was really effective, I thought. So the directing makes this movie better than what it was. If it was going to the Academy, it would be going for that, in my opinion.
My biggest problem with the film is spoilery, because it's all around the end of the film.
Yep. Okay, good.
So with a noting that it's not a perfect film, I wouldn't rate it along those lines, but I would say it's one of the better films from last year, which I failed to see. So I'm a little bit dark. It probably wouldn't be on my top 10 of the year list, but
no, I'd probably agree.
It would be in my top 20 for sure from last year. I'll give you that kind of level of recommendation.
Okay, I'm in.
And you?
I do recommend this because it's so well made that even if you weren't into the story or weren't into that, it's going to keep you interested. I will say it's pitchy towards the middle. I think I got a little bored and I think it went a little long.
Okay.
All so right. There other you go. Than that, it's good.
That's our non-spoiler thoughts. Stick around if you've seen the film and want to hear what we have to say when we spoil the shit out of everything.
I just want to say something. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie and you ever plan on seeing the movie, really shut it off now.
Get out.
Because what I'm about to tell you will stop you enjoying the movie if you ain't seen it.
Now, before you say what you're going to say, we should also acknowledge it was based on a British TV show of two seasons worth. So they have distilled some 12 hours down into 2 hours and 10
that would be,
minutes.
So if this thing that happens halfway through a series, that's pretty cool.
I believe it happens with an episode to go at the end of season
one. Oh my
one.
God.
Right.
All right. So
go on.
All right. I did not see at all coming that Liam Neeson was still alive.
Correct. Neither did I.
Okay. You didn't?
No.
Because I was afraid that, I'm the only dickhead who didn't see that. Really? And it's done sort of perfunctorily, kind of. It's not as huge a reveal as you might think it would be.
Well, the best part about it in that scene is that his wife's character almost knows he's there, but she cannot bring herself to confront
now
the reality.
That's a question I have for you. So basically, she comes into the room. And by the way, I don't get a couple of things. I got a few questions about this movie. But she goes into the fourth widow's house. And she's got a dog with her. The dog starts pawing at the
losing
door.
Losing shit because he smells his master.
Smells his master. So she walks up to the door and she's like, oh my God, is he in there?
Yep.
My understanding was she goes, he's in there. She knows that he's alive still, right?
I don't know if she knows, but she suspects. That's my read on it.
Okay, because that's what I didn't get. If she knew that he was alive, why is she still doing the job from the notebook? It's clearly a plant. It's clearly a setup. Like, if he's still alive, why is he doing that? You know what I mean? You don't. I know you don't have a choice.
I didn't pick up that was a plant and a setup. Then that he hoped that she would go and do the job. That's a big stretch.
No, he said at the end that he hoped she would sell the notebook for the amount of money, right?
But not that she would do the job.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's so weird because then when she goes to his friend who's in the bar owner in the wheelchair, like, oh, no one's going to pay $2 million for that notebook. Like, no one's going to do that. You have to do it yourself. Liam should have known that too. You know, this is not a very good plan of his.
Well, He clearly didn't give a shit anymore. You don't pretend to die and leave your wife to carry the burden with a bullshit
you're
other
right.
plan. He had hooked up with Carrie Coon. He wanted out of the life, and this is the way he saw his way out.
All right, so these are my questions, okay? I'm halfway through the movie. I'm like, I don't know what Liam Neeson did. I don't know why he is in tight with Colin Farrell, and I don't know why Colin Farrell is saying, I knew your husband, he was a good man, when he's clearly a career criminal. Right? That didn't really make sense to me. But
can't remember that part, to be honest. I mean, I remember saying that.
Yeah.
I can't remember how they knew each other.
Well, I don't know how they knew each other, but when there was a scene of them on a boat and he's,
that's right.
Yeah,
yes.
And he's saying like, okay, I want that money. So what it seems to be happening is that Colin Farrell's dad, Robert Duvall, has $5 million in a safe house in his house. he seems to be engaging Liam Neeson
to get his dad's
to
money.
Steal the $5 million.
Sounds right.
But then Liam Neeson owes money to the black guys,
the African American dudes. Yep.
Yeah, and so half the money burned up in the fucking explosion. So he's only got $1 million left. It was very weird, that whole thing.
I mean, to be honest, the particulars of that, if I'm being really, really brutally honest, escaped me because I didn't really care.
That busted me out a
bit.
I'm like,
all, I mean, it, really, all, it did I all care. Make sense like, to me at the time.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't like I went, plot hole, that's ridiculous.
I was, just, I couldn't.
I was rolling with it.
Fair enough. I couldn't put it together. I was sitting there going, wait. So who gets the $2 million?
We could press pause and go back and do it now and work it all out.
Yeah.
I'm sure it all fits. I have not seen any review that says there's plot conveniences and holes here anywhere.
All right. Well, that was my... Yeah.
If I may now get on that basis.
Please, go on.
So the heist happens and we get to the end and Daniel Kaluuya's character has worked out what the women are going to do. So he tails them to the place and basically holds them up.
Yep.
Takes the money they've stolen.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, why did he not just pop them all?
Yeah.
And then they defeat him by ramming him once. And it's a good shot. Back. It's a great shot where... Yes. Frame in the back of the van from behind. He slams into a pole and he dies. And I'm like, well, that was super convenient.
Yeah, that was a problem. And it's like, well, okay, there was no airbag. But when they hit him with a smaller car. All right. And apparently it lurched him forward. And there was a shot right before he hits this barrier or whatever, right? Where he's like a bit dazed at the wheel and seemingly can't control the car. And I'm like, all you got was rear-ended. That won't knock you around so much that you lose consciousness.
I did not buy that. That knocked my score down, that whole sequence.
That bit, I mean, I was happy that they came back. I'm like, oh, you stole it back. Is there going to be a whole nother? Because at this stage, I was a bit pissed off. I was like, there better not be another half hour of them trying to get it back.
Right.
I was happy for them to do that. But yes, good call.
Yeah.
So
that other than that, though, I really like the resolution. I'm so glad. So Harry, is that his name? Harry? For some reason, Harry's in my head.
Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
I can't remember Viola Davis' name. Anyway, Liam Neeson is going to shoot Viola Davis because he's now come to steal the money off her.
Mm-hmm.
What a prick. And because now we see his true colors, really, even despite the fact that he was so in love with her.
That's right. And they had a kid together and they're all, and he said, I couldn't save us, so I saved me.
Yep.
And I'm like, aren't you a fucking lovely man? So
it's great. It's good to see him playing a bad guy.
No, it is.
She pops him, which is good. That's the ending it had to have.
This is your typical movie thing, okay? Because what happens is she's standing in front of the station wagon. She's got all the money. He's like, I got to get to that. He slaps her. She hits the floor, right? Then he goes, checks it's all there. Wicked. Then he pulls his gun. And then he decides, well, I guess I got to do it now. Turns around to point it, but she's already got a gun. And then she shoots him.
Yep.
Real life, you get slapped to the floor and you have a gun on you while someone's checking the money you just stole. That motherfucker has got an entire clip of bullets in his back. There's nothing that's waiting for him to turn around. Maybe, I don't know. But
maybe she's also waiting to see whether or not
whether he'll really try and kill her. Yeah.
Maybe she
good
would,
point, good yeah. point.
And once he pulled the gun, she had no choice.
She's playing it very fast and loose, though. I would be absolutely crawling away. Anyway, look, good movie. Do recommend it. Little bit long for me.
All right, for you, I get that. I've seen a lot of 2-hour, 10-minute films of late. Don't ask me why. There was a day where I watched 3 of them in one day, 2-hour, 10-minute films. And this one is by far the best of them in terms of pacing the life for me. I knew there was going to be a payoff. I was pleased mostly with the payoff other than the conveniences I've talked about. For me, final scores then for Widows, I'm giving this an extremely solid 80.
Wow. Wow, it's a 76 for me.
Okay. It's pretty close.
God, you're even higher than me.
Higher. Wait, does this mean you might now be the new...
No! Oh, God.
I am Megatron. Tremble before me. Terrible fields of television shows.
Oh, God. Okay, if I was the new Negatron...
Such a good thing.
People would understand what I'm fucking saying.
It'd also be much shorter, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
80 and 76. That's the highest we've given, I think, on a feature review
actually,
yet.
Actually, you're right.
On
this,
the show.
Now I'm thinking about it, this probably was a better movie than I thought it was. Like, it actually kind of was good.
It's great. Like I said, and I'd be surprised this didn't make your top 20 from last year as well.
Probably. There was such a
shit year. Categorize it that way.
Yeah.
Last year wasn't shit year. It had some great films, I thought. Just didn't have a lot of second tier great
films. There wasn't
films.
30. There was like...
No, I agree.
12, yeah.
That is our feature review. Thank you for tuning into this feature review episode of The Countdown.
Thanks, kids.
Let us know if you've seen Widows. Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? You can hit us up on Gmail, thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter @thecountdownpc, in our Facebook listener community. The link is in the show notes, or via our website at ccradio.com.au/countdown, where our good mates, Comic Confidential Boys, and their shows are there for you to check out as well.
Coolio. Thanks, kids. We will see you real soon again soon. That's right.
That's right. He's Wayne. I'm Paul.
Oh, sorry, bitch.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Eat my ass! Eat all the ass! S's, man.
Fuck off.
We'll catch you next week.